الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فنحمد الله تبارك وتعالى الذي من علينا في هذا اللقاء وفي هذه الزيارة التي أسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلها زيارة مباركة وأن يجعل زيارتنا خالصة لوجهه الكريم.
The Shaykh began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went on to say to proceed. After that, he went on to say that we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing of being able to have this meeting with you and visit with you all on this visit, that he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make a blessed one and that he makes sincerely seeking his noble face.
وَنَحْنُ فِي زِيَارَتِنَا لِلْوِلَايَاتِ الْمُتَّحَدَةِ الْأَمْرِكِيَةِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ وَالْمَكَانِ الَّذِي سَيَذْكُرُ الْأَخْ.
And we are visiting the United States in the city of Worcester in the state of Massachusetts.
في يوم الخميس الثاني والعشرين من جماد الآخرة لعام 29,400,000 الموافق السادس والعشرين من الشهر السادس لعام 28,000.
On Thursday, the 22nd of Jamal al-Akhira in the year 1429, coinciding with the 26th of June in the year 2008.
وأخوكم محدثكم زائركم من الكويت سالم بن سعد الطويل.
And the one speaking to you is your brother visiting you from Kuwait, Salim bin Sa'd al-Tawil.
وسيكون درس اليوم من قراءتنا لرسالة للشيخ عبد العزيز بن باز رحمه الله تعالى وجزاه الله عنه خيرا الموسومة بالدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة.
And our lesson today, we're going to be reading through a book that has been authored by Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, may Allah reward him with good, rahimahullah. And the name of this treatise is Important Lessons or Essential Lessons for Every Muslim.
والدروس التي سنتكلم عنها في هذا اليوم متعلقة بالصلاة.
And the lessons that we're going to be speaking about today, they are connected to the salat.
وقد ذكرنا في الدرس الماضي شروط الصلاة وأركان الصلاة.
And in the previous lessons, we have already mentioned to you the conditions of the salat and the pillars of the salat.
حتى نربط بين الدرس الماضي ودروس اليوم فنقول.
So that we can tie the previous lesson into today's lesson, we say.
الصلاة هي الركن الثاني من أركان الإسلام.
The salat, it is the second pillar from the pillars of Islam.
وهي عمود الإسلام.
And it is the supporting tenet of Islam.
وهي الحد الفاصل بين الإيمان والكفر.
And it is the dividing factor, the distinguishing factor between Iman and Kufr.
وبها أرسل الله عز وجل رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And with it, Allah عز وجل sent the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وأمره أن يقاتل الناس وأن يجاهدهم على إقامتها.
And he ordered the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to fight the people and to strive against them until it is established.
كما في قوله تعالى فإن تابوا وأقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة فخلوا سبيلهم أي لا تقاتلهم إذا تابوا من الشرك وأقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة فخلوا سبيلهم.
As Allah Ta'ala stated, once they have repented, established a prayer and paid the zakat, then you can leave them at that point.
وقال جل وعلا فإن تابوا وأقاموا الصلاة فإخوانكم في الدين فدل على أنهم إذا لم يصلوا ليسوا إخوانا لنا في الدين.
And Allah عز وجل has mentioned that once they have repented and once they have established a prayer and paid the zakat, then they are your brothers in the deen, in the religion.
والصلاة هي العهد الذي عاهد به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أصحابه وعهده عليه الصلاة والسلام لجميع أمته فمن تركها فقد كفر.
And the salat, it is the covenant that the companions took and the entire of this ummah, the entire of this Muslim nation took, that whoever abandons it, then he's fallen into kufr, he is disbelieved.
كما في حديث بريدة الذي رواه الترمذي وغيره عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة فمن تركها فقد كفر.
As has come on the authority of Bureyda in or collected by Timothy and others, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that the distinguishing factor, the covenant between us and them is the salat, so whoever abandons it, then he has disbelieved.
وروى مسلم في صحيحه من حديث جابر عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال بين الرجل وبين الكفر والشرك ترك الصلاة.
And it has been recorded in Sahih Muslim on Jabir that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that between a man and in kufr and shirk is the salat.
والصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر كما قال جل وعلا وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر.
And the salat, it prevents a person from committing vile, heinous acts and evil, as the Prophet, as Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned, establish the prayer, for certainly it prevents you from vile, heinous acts and evil.
هذا هو المنطوق يفهم منه أن من لم يصلي فإنه سيقع بالفحشاء والمنكر.
And what is understood from this is that whoever does not establish the prayer, then he is putting himself in a situation where he can fall into vile acts and transgression.
وقال جل وعلا فخلف من بعدهم أي من بعد الأنبياء خلف أي جماعات وأقوام أضاعوا الصلاة واتبعوا الشهوات فما اتبعوا الشهوات إلا بعد أن أضاعوا الصلاة.
And Allah Azza wa Jalla, that he has mentioned that he has left the people after the prophets, that they after leaving off the prayer, that they will fall into these vile heinous acts. So they fall into these vile heinous acts after having left off the salat.
والصلاة هي فريضة الله عز وجل التي فرضها وكتب على عباده بأوقاتها. فقال جل وعلا إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا أي فرضا موقوتا أي بأوقاتها الشرعية.
And the salat, it is an obligation that has been prescribed upon us by Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned that certainly the salat, it has been prescribed for the believers in specific times.
وقد فرض الله علينا في اليوم والليلة خمس صلوات كما في حديث معاذ رضي الله عنه لما أرسله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى اليمن فقال واعلمهم أن الله افترض عليهم خمس صلوات في اليوم والليلة.
And there are five prayers that have been described upon us in a day and a night, as we understand from the hadith of Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned to him in this hadith that once they have accepted this, then teach them that there are five prayers in a day and night that are prescribed upon them.
ولأهميتها فرضها الله عز وجل ليلة المعراج عندما عرج بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من المسجد الأقصى إلى السماوات العلى. أسري به من مكة إلى المسجد الأقصى وعرج به من المسجد الأقصى إلى السماوات العلى وهناك فرض الله عليه الصلاة.
And due to the importance of the salat, it was prescribed on the Mi'raj, during the Isra and Mi'raj, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم performed the night's journey from Mecca to Masjid al-Aqsa, and then he ascended upwards to the heavens. And during this trip, this is when the salat was prescribed due to its importance.
ولأهميتها فرضها الله عز وجل 50 صلاة في اليوم والليلة.
And again, due to its importance here, it was prescribed by Allah عز وجل initially to be 50 times in a day and a night.
وهذا ليس بغريب لأن الله عز وجل ما خلقنا إلا لعبادته.
And this is not something that is strange, since Allah سبحانه وتعالى did not create us except for His worship.
لكن الله عز وجل رحيم بعباده فخفف عنهم من 50 إلى 5 صلوات.
However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahim with His servants. He is the bestower of mercy, the most merciful with the servants. So He decreases number from 50 all the way down to 5.
لما فرضها الله عز وجل على نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فرضها 50. ثم مر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بموسى عليه السلام فقال ارجع إلى ربك فاسأله التخفيف.
So when Allah initially made this obligation upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for these salawats, for these prayers, it was 50 times. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to Musa, and Musa told him to go back to his Lord to be decreased, until eventually it was decreased to 5.
فرجع إلى ربه جل وعلا فسأله التخفيف فوضع عنه خمسا.
So he went back to Allah عز وجل, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then it was decreased to 5.
فلما أتى موسى عليه السلام قال ارجع إلى ربك فاسأله التخفيف فرجع إلى الله عز وجل ووضع عنه خمسا.
Or by five rather stated. So then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he went back to Musa عليه السلام again. Musa عليه السلام told him to go back, and when the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم went back, it was decreased by five again. Each time it was decreased by five.
وما زال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بين موسى وبين ربه جل وعلا يسأل التخفيف حتى بلغت خمس صلوات.
And the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't cease to go back between Musa and his Lord until it was decreased by five by five, until eventually it was decreased to a final number of five.
حتى استحى من ربه جل وعلا أن يسأله التخفيف أكثر من ذلك.
To the point that the Prophet ﷺ became shy to ask his Lord to decrease it any more than that.
فجعلها الله عز وجل خمسا في الأداء وخمسين في الأجر.
So Allah عز وجل, He has made it prescribed for us to pray 5 times a day, but the reward of it is though as we have prayed 50.
وَهَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ عَلَيْنَا.
And this is from the virtue of Allah that He has bestowed upon us.
وَكَوْنُهَا خَمْسِ أَفْضَلْ لِلْعَبْدْ مِنْ كَوْنِهَا يَعْنِي صَلَاتَيْنِ.
And
كَوْنُهَا خَمْسِ أَفْضَلْ لِلْعَبْدْ مِنْ أَنْ تَكُونَ صَلَاتَانَ اثْنَتَانَ.
نعم.
أَنْ تَكُونَ صَلَاتَيْنِ اثْنَتَيْنِ.
نعم. And it being 5 prayers is better than it being نعم. And it being 5 prayers is better than it being 2 prayers.
لأن الصلاة صلة بين العبد وبين ربه.
Because the prayer it is the connection between the servant and his Lord.
فلأن يتصل به خمسا أكمل وأظلم يتصل فيه في اليوم مرتين.
And for him to perform it 5 times, his connection with his Lord is better than if it were to pray 2 times.
ومن وفقه الله عز وجل زاد وحافظ على صلاة النوافل حتى تكون صلته بالله عز وجل أكثر.
And the servant, whoever wants to safeguard and do more, he increases upon these prayers with the optional prayers so that his connection with his Lord can be even better.
فَالْعَبْدُ فِي صَلَاتِهِ يُنَاجِ رَبَّهِ.
So the servant with these salawat, he is being granted the salvation of seeking from his Lord.
حَتَّى أَنَّهُ يَقُولُ فِي صَلَاتِهِ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. فهو يخاطب ربه ويناجي ربه.
So to the point that he says in his prayer, you alone do worship and you alone do seek aid, and we ask you for your guidance upon a straight path. So in these supplications that are made, he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him success and salvation therein.
وفي صحيح مسلم من حديث أبي هريرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال قال الله تعالى.
And on the in the hadith in Sahih Muslim authority of Abu Huraira, it states that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stated that Allah Ta'ala stated,
فَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ قَالَ اللَّهُ حَمِدَنِي عَبْدِي.
So if a person says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, then Allah states that my servant has praised me.
فَإِذَا قَالَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ قَالَ اللَّهُ أَثْنَى عَلَيَّ عَبْدِي وَالثَّنَى تِكْرَارُ الْحَمْدِ.
And if a person, when the servant states Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, then Allah Ta'ala states that my servant has continually praised me.
فَإِذَا قَالَ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مَجَّدَنِي عَبْدِي يعني عَظَّمَنِي عَبْدِي.
And when he states مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, then Allah Ta'ala states that my servant, he has deemed me to be majestic, he has extolled me.
فَإِذَا قَالَ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي.
So when he says إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, then Allah Ta'ala states that this is between me and my servants.
فَإِذَا قَالَ اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ وَهَذَا دُعَاءٌ اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ قَالَ اللَّهُ سَأَلَنِي عَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ.
And when the servant says اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ, and this is a dua, this is a supplication, guide me to the path of those who bestowed your mercy upon, not the path of those who have earned your anger, or of those who have gone astray. Allah Ta'ala mentions that this is what my servant had asked for, and he will have what he asked for.
فَالصَّلَاةُ شَأْنُهَا عَظِيمٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَعِنْدَ رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ.
So this affair, the salat, it is magnificent with Allah, and it is magnificent with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
وَأَوْلَى مَا يَجِبُ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يَعْتَنِي بِهِ أَنْ يَعْتَنِي بِصَلَاتِهِ.
And from the things that is most incumbent upon the Muslim to take care of concerning his worship is his salat.
وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَيَأْمُرْ أَهْلَهُ بِذَلِكِ.
So he establishes the prayer and he orders his family with that.
وَقَدْ يُعَانِي مَشَقَّةَ أَنَّ بَعْضَ أَهْلَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُونَ لَهُ فَيَصْبِرْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ.
And he may run into some difficulties of people, some people not answering his call, but he is patient, he perseveres upon that.
كَمَا قَالَ جَلَّ وَعَلَى وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا.
As Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, order your family with the salat and be patient, have perseverance upon calling to them.
وَيَقُولُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ مُرُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ عَلَى سَبْعٍ وَاضْرِبُوهُمْ لَهَا بِعَشْرٍ.
And as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stated, order your children to pray at 7 and beat them concerning it at 10.
وَيَجِبُ وُجُوبًا عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ أَنْ يَتَفَقَّهَ فِي صَلَاتِهِ.
And it is incumbent, it is binding, obligatory upon every Muslim to obtain understanding of the salat, of his salat.
فَيُصَلِّيهَا كَمَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ.
So he performs it, he prays it as Allah عز وجل has ordered.
فَلَمْ يَأْمُرُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِالصَّلَاةِ فَحَسْبُ بَلْ أَمَرَ بِإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ.
And it wasn't that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just ordered for the salah alone by himself, but he ordered for the salah to be established.
في آيات كثيرة يقول الله عز وجل وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ.
And in many verses Allah عز وجل he states and establish the prayer, the salah.
وَيَصْفُ عِبَادَهُ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَيَقُولَ الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ.
And he speaks about his servants who are the believers, and he says those who establish the salat.
وَمُقْتَضَى إِقَامَتْهَا أَن تَأْتِي بِهَا عَلَى وَجْهِهَا الشَّرْعِي.
And one of the requirements of it is that you perform it in the legislative fashion.
بِشْرُوطِهَا وَأَرْكَانِهَا وَوَاجِبَاتِهَا.
With its conditions and its pillars and its wajibat, its obligations, requirements.
وَالْأَكْمَلْ أَن تَأْتِي بِمُسْتَحَبَّاتِهَا.
And it is more perfect to also come with the mustahabbat, the haramakim, and the acts therein.
وَقَدْ ثَبَتَ كَمَا فِي صَحِيحِ الْبُخَارِي مِنْ حَدِيثِ مَالِكِ بْنِ حُوَيْرِثَ رَضِي اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي.
And it is coming in Sahih Bukhari on the hadith of Malik ibn Huwayrith.
Malik ibn Huwayrith.
In the hadith of Malik ibn Huwayrith that the Prophet ﷺ stated, pray the way that you see me praying.
فَرَآهُ أَصْحَابُ رَضِي اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كَيْفَ يُصَلِّي وَرَأَوْا ذَلِكَ لِلْأُمَّةِ.
So the companions, they saw how the Prophet ﷺ prayed, and they showed the rest of the ummah how to pray.
وَبِحَمْدِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ امْتَازَتْ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ أَنْ حَفِظَ اللَّهُ لَهَا الدِّينَ بِالْأَسَانِيدِ.
And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we praise Allah azza wa jal, since He has favored this ummah by preserving the religion through the asaneed, through the narrations.
فَمَا ضَاعَ مِنْ دِينِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ شَيْءٌ أَبَدًا كُلُّ صَغِيرَةٍ وَكَبِيرَةٍ يحتاج المسلم يتقرب إلى الله عز وجل إلا وهي محفوظة بالأسانيد الثابتة الصحيحة.
So there is nothing that has been lost, nothing that has been neglected in this deen, in this religion. Everything that is large or small, everything the servant is in need of in order to seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of it has been preserved.
فالأمة متصلة بنبيها.
So this ummah, it is connected to its prophet.
وهذا لا يوجد في أمة من الأمم أبدا.
And this is something that was not found in any of the previous nations ever.
إلا هذه الأمة أخذ المسلمون دينهم أب عن جد يعني راوي عن راوي إلى أن يتصل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Except for this ummah that they serve, this religion is passed on generation after generation, narration after narration, exactly as it was on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
فالصحابة روى الدين كله عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So the companions, the Sahaba, they convey the entire religion on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
لم يذهب منه شيء ولا نقطة. ما ذهب من دين الله شيء.
So they conveyed it, and nothing was taken from it. Nothing was detracted from it at all.
نعم لا يوجد رجل واحد يحوي الدين كله ولا حتى من الصحابة.
And yes, there is no one man who was carrying the entire religion himself, not even amongst the companions.
لكن حوى الصحابة العلم كله حوى الصحابة الصحابة العلم كله يعني كل منهم روى جانبا منه إلى الجيل الذي بعدهم.
But all the companions collectively, all of them gathered the religion collectively. So each portion of them gathered some of it, and collectively they gathered all of it until they were able to pass it on to the next generation.
وَالَّذِينَ بَعْدَهُمْ هُمُ التَّابِعُونَ رَوَوْا ذَلِكَ إِلَى تَابِعِ التَّابِعِينَ.
And those who are after them are the tabi'un, the second generation. And the tabi'un, they conveyed it to the tabi'in, the third generation.
وَتَابِعُ التَّابِعِينَ رَوَوْا ذَلِكَ إِلَى مَنْ بَعْدَهُمْ.
And the tabi'u tabi'in, the third generation, they conveyed it to those who came after them.
حتى قيض الله علماء محدثين وفقهاء فدونوا هذا العلم بالسند الصحيح إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Until Allah facilitated the coming of scholars of hadith, muhaddithun and fuqaha, scholars of hadith and scholars of fiqh, so that they were able to compile the asaniq, compile these narrations and preserve the deen.
من أمثال الإمام أحمد بن حنبل.
The likes of Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal.
وكأيضا صاحبي الصحيحين البخاري ومسلم.
And likewise authors of the two صحيحين البخاري and Muslim.
وأصحاب السنن كالترمذي وأبي داود والنسائي وابن ماجه.
And like the authors of the Sunan, such as Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah.
وغيرهم قيضهم الله ووفقهم الله وسخرهم الله فجمعوا العلم كله لم يفت منه شيء.
And others from them who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitated for them and granted them success and compiled the whole of the religion, and there was nothing that slipped past them that they weren't able to compile and collect.
وحفظ الله عز وجل كتابه وأيضا سنة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So Allah Azza wa Jal, He preserved His book, and He also preserved the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
بل حتى آثار الصحابة قد جمعت.
Even the narrations of the Sahaba, the companions, even those were gathered.
وأقوال العلماء وأئمة الإسلام قد جمعت.
And the statements of the scholars and the imams of the religion, even their statements were compiled.
فما زالت هذه الأمة يسودها علماؤها يسودها يقودها علماؤها.
So it has never ceased to be the case even till now that the scholars that they are leaders of the religion compiling preserving the religion.
والأمم السابقة شرارها علماؤها. شرارها علماؤها. الأمم السابقة شرارها علماؤها. وهذه الأمة خيارها علماؤها.
طيب. And the previous nations, the worst of them were their scholars, but rather for this nation, the best of them are their scholars.
فيأكل علماء الأمم السابقة يأكلون أموال الناس بالباطل.
So in the previous nations, the scholars of the previous nations, they would take the wealth of the people without due right.
ويصدون عن سبيل الله.
And they would block off the path of Allah.
ويدعون الناس إلى عبادتهم واتخاذهم أربابا من دون الله.
And they would call the people to worshiping others alongside Allah.
بينما علماء هذه الأمة وصفهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بأنهم ورثة الأنبياء.
While the scholars of this ummah, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had described them as being the inheritors of the prophets.
فقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم العلماء ورثة الأنبياء.
As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has stated that the علماء, the scholars, are the inheritors of the prophets.
والأنبياء ما ورثوا دينارا ولا درهما ولكن ورثوا العلم.
And the prophets, they did not bequeath dirham or dinar. They didn't leave any currency behind as an inheritance, but they left knowledge, ilm, as an inheritance.
فمن أخذ به أي بالعلم فقد أخذ بحظ وافر.
So whoever takes his knowledge, and he has taken an ample fortune.
والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما صلى وراه الناس.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he prayed and the people saw him,
لم يقل لهم هذا شرط وهذا ركن وهذا واجب.
He didn't say to them, this is a pillar, or this is a condition, and this is a wajib, a requirement.
لكن كما قلت لكم العلماء ورثة الأنبياء.
But as we stated, the scholars, they are the inheritors of the prophets.
بل لم أقل لكم أنا ذلك بل هذا كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو القائل العلماء ورثة الأنبياء.
And I'm not the one that's saying this to you, but rather the Prophet himself صلى الله عليه وسلم, he stated that the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets.
فاستقرأوا الكتاب والسنة استقرأوا الكتاب والسنة قرأوا الكتاب والسنة.
So they read, if you will, they read the book in the Sunnah.
فأخذوا هذه المادة الخام فقسموها ورتبوها وصنعوها.
So they took the kitab and the sunnah and they organized it and arranged it as such.
فوجدوا ما لا بد منه قبل بداية الصلاة فسموه شروطا.
So then they listed out, looked at, examined those things that are necessary before the prayer to be performed, and they called them shurut, conditions.
والشروط جمع شرط وهو ما يلزم من عدمه العدم. إذا عدم الشرط أن عدم المشروط.
And the word shurut, conditions, is the plural of the word shart, condition. And a condition is that thing that that which its non-existence
necessitates.
نعم, that which is non-existence necessitates the non-existence of another thing.
كالطهارة مثلا قالوا إنها شرط للصلاة.
As the tahara, the state of purification, for example, the state that this is a condition of the salat.
فإذا عدمت الطهارة انعدمت الصلاة.
So if you don't have tahara, you don't have salat.
لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مثلا أتوا إلى حديث الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم مثلا فقالوا قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا صلاة لمن لا وضوء له. قالوا إذن الوضوء شرط للصلاة.
As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has stated an example that we're going to take here, that there is no salat for the one who doesn't have wudu. So from this we understand that the wudu is a shart, is a condition of the salat.
وقد ذكرنا بالأمس شروط الصلاة.
And yesterday we have mentioned the conditions of the salat.
وذكرناها قبل أمس شروط الصلاة.
And the day before that we mentioned the conditions of the salat.
ولكن سنكرر ذلك.
But we're going to repeat it.
لأن في الإعادة إفادة.
Because in repeating over again like this, there's benefit in it.
ولأن بعض الأخوة ما كانوا حاضرين.
And some of the people here, they weren't present.
حتى يستدركوا ما فاتهم.
So they can understand that which they missed.
ومنهم الأخ طارق مهنا.
And from his our brother here, طارق مهنا.
نعم. فشروط الصلاة تسعة.
So the conditions of the prayer, they are nine.
والشروط تسبق الصلاة.
And the conditions, they precede the salat.
فأولها الإسلام.
The first of them is Islam.
فلا يقبل الله عز وجل صلاة ولا غير صلاة من غير مسلم.
So Allah عز وجل, He doesn't accept the salat or anything else from a person who's not a Muslim.
فلا بد أولا أن يدخل الإسلام ثم يعمل صالحا فيقبل الله أعماله.
So it's imperative, it's incumbent upon a person to enter into Islam and then perform righteous actions so that Allah will accept it.
والله عز وجل يقول ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلا يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين.
And Allah عز وجل has mentioned, and whoever desires a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted from him, and he will be, and hereafter he will be from amongst the losers.
فوجد العلماء أن الله عز وجل اشترط الإسلام ليقبل من العبد أو المكلف الأعمال. فقال الإسلام شرط لقبول الأعمال.
So the scholars have distracted from this that Islam is a condition of actions being accepted. So from the conditions of the prayer is Islam.
فقالوا الإسلام شرط لصحة الصلاة.
So they say that Islam is a condition of the validity of the salat.
الشرط الثاني العقل.
The second condition is العقل, sanity.
فإن المجنون قد رفع عنه القلم غير مكلف.
So the one who is insane, the pen lifted from him, he's not responsible.
ولا يمكن أن ينوي العبادة ولا أن يحسنها.
And it's not possible for him to make the intentions for actions or to perform them well.
فقالوا العقل شرط لقبول الأعمال.
So العقل, sanity, is the condition of actions being accepted.
الشرط الثالث التمييز. أن يكون هذا الإنسان مميز. يعني ما هو صغير دون التمييز. فدون التمييز لا يستطيع أن ينوي العبادة ولا أن يتقنها ولا أن يحسنها.
And the third condition here is tamyiz, the age of distinction. So anyone who is beneath this age of distinction, he doesn't have the ability to make his intentions or perform acts of worship well.
الطفل إذا كان في الثالثة أو في الرابعة هو غير مميز لكن ليس بمجنون.
And a child, if he's at the age of 3 or 4, he hasn't reached the age of distinction, but at the same time, he's not insane.
فهو يؤمر وينهى لكنه لا يستطيع أن ينوي الصلاة ولا أن يحسنها.
So you can tell him to do things or tell him to not do things, but he doesn't have the ability to make this distinction so that he can make the intention to perform the salah.
فقال العلماء التمييز شرط لصحة الصلاة.
So the scholars have mentioned that tamyiz, the age of distinction, is a condition from the conditions of the salah.
الشرط الرابع إزالة النجاسة.
And the fourth condition here is removing physical impurities.
فقد جاءت أدلة كثيرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بوجوب إزالة النجاسة من البدن والثياب والبقعة التي تريد أن تصلي بها.
And there are many evidences that have come on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that has explained to us that we have to remove physical impurities from our bodies, from our garments, or from the area that we desire to pray.
والنجاسة كبول الآدمي وغائطه وكدم حيض المرأة والميتة.
And the physical impurities are things such as urination, defecation, blood of menstruation, and the deceased.
فهذه يعني يجتنبها المصلي قبل أن يبدأ بالصلاة.
And these things the servant is to remove them before he comes to pray.
من أين يجتنبها؟ يجتنبها في بدنه، يزيلها من بدنه، ويزيلها من ثيابه التي يريد أن يصلي فيها، ويزيلها من المكان الذي يصلي عليه.
And where does he remove these things from? He removes them from his body, from his garments, and from the area that he desires to pray in.
كذلك الشرط الخامس رفع الحدث. إما الحدث الأكبر كالجنابة وحيض المرأة ونفاسها والتقاء الختانين يرفع ذلك بالغسل.
And the fifth condition as well, رفع الحدث, the removal of spiritual impurities. And these spiritual impurities, there are two types. One of them is major spiritual impurities, and this is the state of janaba. And this is the individual who perhaps a woman who has menstrual blood or postnatal bleeding, or when the two organs of the male and female have met and crossed.
كذلك رفع الحدث الأصغر الذي يرفعه بالوضوء.
Likewise is the minor spiritual impurity, and this is removed by performing the wudu.
كما لو خرج من أحد السبيلين بول أو غاط أو ريح أو نام نوما ثقيلا فإنه يتوضأ يرفع الحدث بالوضوء.
Like the individual who something comes out of the two orifices such as urination or defecation or passing the wind or the person that he falls asleep, he performs the wudu.
كما قال جل وعلا يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا قمتم للصلاة فاغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم المرافق وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم إلى الكعبين.
As Allah عز وجل has mentioned, oh you believe, when you stand up for the prayer, wash your faces and your arms up to including the elbows and wipe over your heads and also wash your feet up to the Kaabain, up to the ankles.
الشرط السادس ستر العورة وهي في حق الرجل من سرته إلى ركبته.
The sixth condition here is covering of the private parts, and for the male, this is considered to be from his navel and his knee, what is between the two areas.
لقوله تعالى يا بني آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد.
Due to the statement of Allah Ta'ala, O children of Adam, beautify yourselves at every masjid.
ولقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في حق المرأة لا صلاة لحائض بغير خمار. والمراد بالحائض يعني البالغة لا التي عليها الحيض. لأن التي عليها الحيض أصلا لا تصلي، ولكن معنى حائض يعني بالغة، لا صلاة لحائض بغير خمار.
And as it is stated that there is no prayer for the had, for the menstruating woman without the khimar. And what's meant by the had or the menstruating woman here is the one who has reached the age where she begins to menstruate. Doesn't mean the one who is menstruating, because the one who is beneath that age is menstruating anyway. It means the one who is at the age of menstruation.
والمرأة في الصلاة كلها عورة إلا الوجه والكفين حتى قدميها تستر قدميها في الصلاة.
And the woman, concerning the salat specifically, all of her body is considered an awra, all of her body is considered the private part, so she's covered all of her body except for her face and her hands, and it is upon her also to cover her feet.
الشرط السابع دخول الوقت لقوله تعالى إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا. كتابا أي فرضا، موقوتا أي بأوقاتها الشرعية.
And the seventh condition here is دخول الوقت, the interest of the proper time, as Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that certainly the salat, it has been prescribed, meaning it has been obligated upon the mu'mineen, upon the believers in specific time periods.
فلا بد من إقام الصلاة بأوقاتها المشروعة لا قبل الوقت ولا بعد الوقت.
So it is upon us, it is upon the believers to perform the salat in its prescribed time, not before it and not after it.
فأما وقت صلاة الفجر فيبدأ.
As for the صلاة الفجر, it begins
من طلوع الفجر الصادق إلى طلوع الشمس.
From the time that the Fajr prayer comes in until the sun rises.
وأما صلاة الظهر فيبدأ من الزوال, يعني تحرك السماء من كبد السماء, من تحرك الشمس من كبد السماء إلى جهة الغرب, من زوال الشمس. بدايته من زوال الشمس.
And as for Salat al-Dhuhr, the entrance of Salat al-Dhuhr is when the sun has reached its zenith and it begins to move towards the sun, towards the west. At this point, the Dhuhr prayer has entered.
ويستمر وقت صلاة الظهر من زوال الشمس إلى أن يكون ظل الشيء مثله. يعني لو وضعنا شيء مثل له ظل, يعني شيء طوله متر, فيكون ظله طوله متر. فبداية وقت الظهر من زوال الشمس أول ما يصير للشيء ظل حتى يمتد فيكون ظل الشيء مثله.
And the Salat al-Dhuhr prayer, its time continues to the point that a person can see his shadow, and a person can continue to see his shadow until his shadow is equal to him, to his shadow the same size as him. This is the end of the Salat al-Dhuhr.
ووقت صلاة العصر منذ نهاية وقت صلاة الظهر, يعني عندما يكون ظل الشيء مثله.
And the Salat al-Asr, it comes in at the time that Dhuhr exits, meaning at the time period that a person's shadow is equal to him in height.
إلى أن يكون ظل الشيء مثلي.
And until his shadow is two times his size.
أو إلى اصفرار الشمس.
Or until the rays of the sun, until it becomes like an orange ball in the sky, the rays, it loses its rays.
وإلى اصفرار الشمس راح يكون الوقت أطول من ظل الشيء مثلي. وإلى اصفرار الشمس سيكون الوقت أطول من ظل الشيء مثلي.
نعم. And it's and the sun looking like a orange ball in the sky. This time may be a little bit longer than the time of when the person looks like there are two shadows. Yes, the shadows are two times his height.
ووقت الضرورة لصلاة العصر يمتد إلى غروب الشمس.
And the time of durura, the times of necessity, is with Salat al-Asr, and this time until the sun descends.
وأما وقت صلاة المغرب فواضح إذا غربت الشمس.
And as for the time of Maghrib, then it's clear that when the sun descends.
ويمتد وقت صلاة المغرب إلى أن يغيب الشفق الأحمر, وهو اللون الاحمرار الذي يكون في السماء جهة الغرب.
And the time of Maghrib exits when the redness in the sky totally goes away. This is when Salat al-Maghrib exits.
فإذا صارت عتمة صار سوادا انتهى وقت المغرب وبدأ وقت صلاة العشاء.
So when the sky becomes completely black, the time of Maghrib has exited and the time of Isha has entered.
وَيَمْتَدُّ وَقْتُ صَلَاةُ الْعِشَاءِ إِلَى مُنْتَصَفِ اللَّيْلِ.
And the time of Isha, it continues on until the middle of the night.
هذه أوقات الصلاة التي حددها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
These are the times of the Salat as has been specified by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وقد نزل جبريل عليه السلام فصلى في النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كل صلاة في أول وقتها.
So Jibril عليه السلام, he descended to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he led him in the prayer at the beginning of every Salat.
وفي اليوم الثاني صلى كل صلاة في آخر وقتها.
And the next day he came and he prayed every Salat at the end of his time.
ثم قال يا محمد ما بين هذين الوقتين صلاة.
And then he said, O Muhammad, what is between these two times is the Salat.
وجاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله كيف الصلاة.
And a man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he asked him, how is this Salat?
قال أقم معنا. أقم معنا.
He said to him, stay here with us, stand with us.
فصلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أول يوم كل صلاة في أول وقتها.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, this first day, he prayed this Salat, he prayed it in the beginning of his time.
وصلى في اليوم الثاني كل صلاة في آخر وقتها.
And in the second day, he prayed every Salat at the end of his time.
ثم قال أين السائل.
Then he said, where is the questioner?
أصليت معنا؟ قال نعم.
Did you pray with us? And he said yes.
قال ما بين هذين الوقتين صلاة.
And he said to him, what is between these two time periods is the salah.
وهذا تعليم بالتطبيق العملي بينه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحسن بيان.
And this here is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم educating through practical application and teaching them in the best of fashions.
فلا يجوز أن نصلي الصلاة قبل وقتها.
So it's not permissible to perform a salah before its time.
ولا يجوز أن نخرج متعمدين الصلاة عن وقتها.
And nor is it permissible for a person to intentionally pray a prayer after its time.
ما لم تكن الصلاة تجمع مع الصلاة التي قبلها أو تجمع مع الصلاة التي بعدها.
So that the salat is not joined, gathered with the salat that comes before it or after.
فإنه من المشروع للمسافر والمريض وعند الضرورة أن يجمع المصلي صلاة الظهر مع العصر أو يقدم صلاة العصر مع الظهر وكذلك المغرب مع العشاء.
So for the individual who is traveling or the one who is sick or the one who has some need, it is permissible for him to join between the prayers or to pray one of the prayers in the earlier time.
أما الفجر فلا تجمع مع شيء من الصلاة لا مع العشاء ولا مع الظهر.
And as for Fajr, it is not joined with any prayer. It is not joined with Isha, nor is it joined with Dhuhr.
والعصر لا تجمع مع المغرب.
And Asr is not joined with Maghrib.
وإنما تجمع الظهر مع العصر والمغرب مع العشاء في السفر وعند الضرورة.
And those that are joined are Dhuhr with Asr and Maghrib with Isha when a person is traveling or when there is some dire necessity.
أما من نام عن صلاة أو نسيها فإنه يصليها حين يذكرها.
As for the person who overslept or he forgot, then it is for him to pray as soon as he remembers.
لا يجوز أن يتعمد المسلم ويترك الصلاة ويجعلها في أوقات أخرى. فهذا ما لم يأذن به الله عز وجل ولا رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And it is not permissible for a person to intentionally pray the prayers outside of his time. It's not permissible for him to pray outside of his time, since this is something that has not been given permission to be done by Allah or His Messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم.
حتى أن بعض الناس يترك الصلاة 10 أيام 15 يوما في أوقات السفر أو في أوقات الدراسة والامتحانات فيقول بعد 10 أيام أقضي هذه الصلوات فأصلي كل صلاة مرتين مرتين.
So to the point that some of people, they may leave off the salat for 10 days or 15 days because they're traveling, because they have some tests or the likes of these things. So they say, once my examinations are over, then I'm going to make up all these salats.
وهذا أمر ما أنزل الله به من سلطان.
And this is an affair that Allah hasn't revealed any authority for.
بل شرع الله لعباده صلاة الخوف أثناء الخوف وأثناء القتال. شرع الله لعباده صلاة الخوف ولا يؤجلوها بعد القتال.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has legislated Salat al-Khawf, the prayer of fear. And it wasn't even legislated for them to perform this prayer after fighting. They had to pray then.
وَشَرَعَ صَلَاةَ الْمَرِيضِ لِلْمَرِيضِ قَالَ صَلِّ قَائِمًا فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ فَقَاعِدًا فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَى جَنْبِ وَلَمْ يُرَخِّصْ لَهُ أَنَّهُ يُصَلِّ بَعْدَ أَنْ يَتَشَافَى وَيَتَعَافَى.
And even the one who is ill, it has been legislated for him to pray if he has ability to do so, or standing, and if not, sitting, and if not, laying down on the side. And even this person was ill, it wasn't made permissible for him to wait until after he became better to pray.
فأنت متى ما أذنت لنفسك أن تصلي الصلاة بعد وقتها فهذا سبيل إلى أن تترك الصلاة والعياذ بالله.
So whenever you permit for yourself to begin to delay these prayers, praying them outside of their time, then this is a path that leads to you eventually abandoning the Salat and seek Allah's refuge from that.
وَأَمَّا الشَّرْطُ الثَّامِنُ فَهُوَ اسْتِقْبَالُ الْقِبْلَةِ لِقَوْلِهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ.
And the eighth condition here is istiqbal al-qibla, facing the qibla, due to the statement of Allah Ta'ala, turn your face toward Masjid al-Haram.
فَإِذَا كُنْتَ عِنْدَ الْكَعْبَةِ تَسْتَقْبِلْ عَيْنَ الْكَعْبَةِ.
So if you are at the Kaaba, then you exactly face the Kaaba.
وَإِذَا كُنْتَ بَعِيدًا عَنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ تَسْتَقْبِلُ جِهَتَهَا.
And if you are far away from the Kaaba, then you face its general direction.
وَيَجُوزُ لِلْمُسَافِرِ أَنْ يُصَلِّ النَّافِلَةِ على دابته والسيارة تسير فيه مثلا إلى غير القبلة.
And it is permissible for the traveler, for example, to pray his optional prayers upon his riding beast while his riding beast or his vehicle is facing whatever direction it is facing.
فقد كان يفعل ذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم غير أنه لا يصلي على الدابة المكتوبة يعني الصلوات المفروضة الخمس.
And this is something that is legislated since the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would perform these prayers on his riding beast except for the obligatory prayers. He wouldn't do this on his riding beast.
الشرط التاسع والأخير من شروط الصلاة النية. والنية معناها القصد ومحلها القلب.
And the ninth and final condition of the prayer is the niyyah, is the intention. And the meaning of niyyah is qasd, which also means is intention. And its place is the heart.
والتلفظ بها بدعة لم يأذن به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم يفعله ولم يقر أحدا عليه. لا يوجد في دين الله أن تقول نويت أن أصلي نويت ولا أتوضأ. هذا ليس من الدين، وإن قالت به بعض كتب الفقهاء، لكنه صحيح أنه بدعة. وإنما النية محلها القلب.
And verbalizing the intentions is something that the Prophet ﷺ, he did not permit, nor did he legislate, nor did he condone. And it is not for a person to say, verbalize, he's going to pray like this and like that, or make wudu like this and like that, but rather this is a bid'ah, this is an innovation, and the place of the intention is in the heart.
ودليل النية قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما رواه البخاري ومسلم وسائر كتب أهل السنة حديث عمر المشهور إنما الأعمال بالنيات.
We're going to mention what the Sheikh mentioned. We forgot to mention the point that he said. And he said, even with this point of verbalizing intentions, you find this in some of the books of the Fuqaha. So you find this in some of the books of the Fuqaha, but even though you may find it is not the case. It is an innovation, and this place is the heart. And then he went on to mention the evidence for the niyyah is the hadith that comes in al-Bukhari and Muslim that certainly actions in the mal'ana bin niyyat, that the actions are based upon the intention.
يعني ما من عمل إلا ولا بد له من نية.
That there is no action except that there must be an intention with it.
والنية أن تقصد ماذا تريد أن تصلي نافلة أم فريضة.
And the نية is to intend whatever you intend to pray. Is it an optional prayer? Is it an obligatory prayer?
وإذا كانت فريضة هل هي الظهر أم العصر تقصدها تحددها يعني.
And if it is an obligatory prayer, is it dhuhr or is it asr, you intend what you're going to pray.
وهل هي أداء أم قضاء للصلاة فائتة فتقصدها وتحددها بقلبك وتصلي.
Is it a prayer that you're praying on time or is it a prayer that you're making up? All of this you make the intention for yourself.
هذه شروط الصلاة التسعة.
These are the nine conditions of the prayer.
الإسلام العقل التمييز.
Islam, sanity, age of distinction.
رفع الحدث إزالة النجاسة.
Removing spiritual impurities, removing physical impurities.
ستر العورة دخول الوقت.
Covering the private parts, entrance of the proper time.
إقبال قبلة النية.
Facing the qibla and the niyyah, the intention.
فما أجمل كلام العلماء.
So what is more beautiful than the speech of the scholars?
وكم بذلوا من الجهد حتى سهلوا بهذه الطريقة.
And how much effort have they put forth so that this method can be followed?
فهم بحق كما وصفهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ورثة الأنبياء.
So they, in truth, they are the ones that are like the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم described. And the scholars, they are the inheritors of the prophets.
هذا كله سبق أن تكلمنا عنه، ولكن لعلنا اليوم فصلنا يعني أكثر قليلا.
نعم. And we spoke about all these things previously, but perhaps today we spoke about them with some more details.
أما الدرس السابع تكلمنا عنه بالأمس ونكرره الآن حتى نربط الدرس بعضه ببعض.
And as for the seventh lesson here concerning the pillars of the prayer, we spoke about them already, but we're going to mention them again to tie yesterday's lesson into today's lesson.
فهو عن أركان الصلاة والركن وما قام عليه غيره.
And this it is the arkan of the salat, the pillars of the salat, and a rukn, a pillar, is that which other than it is built on it.
وهاي الأركان لا تسقط حتى لو نسيها المصلي لابد أن يرجع ويستدرك ويأتي بها.
And these pillars, if they were to fall, then a person will have to come back and perform it again.
لم يحددها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كم ركن.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not actually specify the exact number of how many pillars they are.
وإنما حددها ورثته العلماء.
But the ones who have specified it are the ones who inherited from the علماء, the scholars.
فنظروا في الصلاة فوجدوا ماهية الصلاة, يعني مكونات الصلاة التي لا تبقى الصلاة بدونها.
And so they examined the salat and they looked at what is the mahiya of the salat, the essence of the salat. What are those things that are needed in it? Without it, it will fall.
بحيث لو ذهبت هذه الأركان انتهت الصلاة, لا صلاة.
To the point that if these pillars were to leave, you wouldn't have any salat.
فلو أن إنسان صلى صلاة بغير أركانها,
so if a person were to pray the salat without its pillars,
ما فيها قيام ولا قراءة فاتحة ولا ركوع ولا سجود, معناه أنه ما صلى.
And he doesn't have his standing position in the prayer, his fatha in the prayer, his rukur, his sajda. This person, he doesn't have salat.
فهذه أركان الصلاة التي هي تتكون من الصلاة وتقوم عليها الصلاة.
So these are the pillars of salat that it formulates the prayer, and it is the pillars of the prayer.
فوجدوا أنها 14 ركنا.
So we find that there are 14 pillars.
القيام مع القدرة. أول أركان الصلاة القيام.
And it is the first one is qiyam ma'a qudra, standing with those who have the ability. The first pillar of the prayer is this qiyam, standing.
يعني قبل أن تكبر لابد أن تكون قائما ثم تكبر.
Before you can make takbir, you have to be standing and then you make takbir.
فإذا نويت الصلاة والنية شرط من شروطها, قمت إلى الصلاة لقوله تعالى وقوموا لله قانتين أي خاشعين.
نعم. And after a person has made their intention for the prayer, then he gets up to stand for the prayer. This is the first pillar of the prayer. And the evidence for this is where Allah Ta'ala stated, and stand and وَقُمُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, and stand for the sake of Allah, having a state of concentration and humility.
وَإِنَّمَا قَالَ الْعُلَمَاءَ الْقِيَامِ مَعَ الْقُدْرَةِ وَمِنْهُمُ الشَّيْخَ عَبْدُ الْعَلِيمِ رحمه الله, لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لعمران بن حصين كما في صحيح البخاري صل قائما فإن لم تستطع فقاعدا فإن لم تستطع فعلى جنب.
And the scholars have stated here to pray standing, and to those who have the ability, and from those that are mentioned is Imam Ibn Ubaz due to the al-hadith عن
عمران بن حصين.
عن عمران بن حصين رضي الله عنه في
صحيح البخاري.
في صحيح البخاري, where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had mentioned that if you have the ability to pray standing, then pray standing. And if not, then pray sitting. And if not, then laying on your side.
الركن الثاني تكبيرة الإحرام, وهي قول الله أكبر.
And the second pillar here is تكبيرة الإحرام, the opening takbir, and it is the saying Allahu Akbar.
ولا تنعقد الصلاة إلا بهذه التكبيرة.
And you don't begin your salat except with this takbira.
من قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم للمسيء في صلاته إذا قمت إلى الصلاة فكبر.
Due to the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to the one who prayed poorly, when you stand for the prayer, then فكبر, then say the takbir.
ولا بد يا علي أن تقول الله أكبر.
And it is imperative upon you, Ali, to say الله أكبر.
لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كبر.
Since the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said كبر, make the takbir.
لو قلت الله أعظم ما تصح صلاتك.
If you were to say الله أعظم, then your prayer is not valid.
لو قلت الله أكرم ما تصح صلاتك.
If you were to say الله أكرم, your prayer is not valid.
لو قلت لا إله إلا الله ما تصح صلاتك.
If you were to say لا إله إلا الله, your salat is not valid.
هذه عبادة, والعبادة توقيفية, تتوقف على ورود النص. كيف فعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ نفعل.
And this is worship, and worship halts at the text. So however the text states is how we worship.
لو استبدلت التكبير بذكر آخر ما تصح صلاتك.
So if you were to replace this takbir with any other wording, your salat is not valid.
قل الله أكبر باللغة العربية كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So you say الله أكبر in the Arabic language as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stated it.
لا تقولها يا علي بالإنجليزي ولا بالتركي. الله أكبر بالعربي.
So you say Ali, you don't say this in English or in Turkish, you say it in Arabic as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stated.
اتفقنا؟
So you agree?
طيب. لا تقول الله أكبر فهذا استفهام كأنك تقول هل الله أكبر الله أكبر هذا خطأ.
So you don't say الله أكبر like this. So this is an interrogative sentence. This is a question.
ولا تقول الله أكبر فأكبر هذا في اللغة العربية معناه الطبل الذي يدف عليه.
No. Nor do you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, extended in the spasm sense. If you say Akbar, then this is a set of drums.
وإنما تقول الله أكبر.
But what you say is Allahu Akbar.
ولا تتلفظ بحرف الواو بين لفظ الجلالة وأكبر. لا تقول الله وأكبر هذا خطأ. وإنما تقول الله أكبر.
Nor do you place the letter waw between lafz al-jalala and akbar so that a person says Allahu akbar. This is incorrect, but rather you say Allahu akbar.
الركن الثالث قراءة الفاتحة وهي أم الكتاب.
The third pillar is reciting of Fatiha and it is the mother of the book, أم الكتاب.
وسبق أن تكلمنا عن فضائلها وعن معانيها.
And we have already spoken about its virtues and its meanings.
فلا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب.
There is no salah for the one who does not recite the opening of the book.
سواء كنت إماما أو منفردا.
Regardless if you are the imam, the one leading the prayer, or you are praying individually by yourself.
كذلك لو كنت مأموما في الصلاة السرية.
Likewise, if you are following the imam in a prayer in the inaudible prayers,
كصلاة الظهر والعصر,
such as صلاة الظهر والعصر,
وآخر ركعة من صلاة المغرب,
in the last ركعة the last unit of prayer from صلاة المغرب,
وآخر ركعتين من صلاة العشاء,
and the last two units of prayer from صلاة العشاء,
لا بد أن تقرأها ولا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب.
It is incumbent that you recite it, and there is no salah for one who does not recite the opening of the book.
أما إذا كانت في الصلاة الجهرية التي يجهر بها الإمام ويقرأ بصوت عالي,
as if you are in an audible prayer where the imam is reciting loudly where it can be heard,
فإن لم تكن تسمعها منك أن تكون بعيد وصوته ضعيف فإنك تقرأها.
So if you are far away from him or his voice is low, you can't hear him, then you have to recite it.
أما إذا سمعت الإمام يقرأها فتجزئك قراءة الإمام ويكفيك سماعك إياها.
But as for if you can hear the imam, then it suffices for you his recitation of it.
ويستحب لك أن تقرأ إن استطعت.
And it is highly recommended for you to recite it if you have the ability to do so.
وهذا ليس موضع اتفاق بين الفقهاء والعلماء وإنما اختلفوا في ذلك.
And this is not a place where the علماء and the فقهاء, the scholars of fiqh have agreed upon it, but this is an affair that there is difference of opinion in it.
ولكن لعل هذا أعدل الأقوال وأقربها للصواب. أنك إن استطعت أن تقرأ في الجهرية يستحب أن تقرأها وإن لم تستطع فيكفي سماعك للإمام لقراءة الإمام.
And we hope that this is the most just and the closest statement to the truth, that when you have an audible prayer where the imam is reciting out loud, if you have the ability to recite it, then you do so, and if you don't, then it's not upon you.
يستثنى من ذلك المسبوق إذا جاء والإمام راكع وأدركه وركع معه فإنه تسقط عنه الفاتحة.
And the one who is excluded from this is the one who enters into the prayer when the imam is in rukur. If he catches the rukur, then it's not upon him to recite al-fatiha.
ويستثنى من ذلك من عجز عن قراءتها.
And the one who is also excluded from this is the one who doesn't have the ability to recite it.
وهذا الحكم لعلكم تحتاجون إليه في هذا البلاد.
And this particular ruling, perhaps you all are in need of it in this country.
فمن دخل في الإسلام حديثا وهو لا يجد قراءة الفاتحة,
so whoever newly embraces Islam and he doesn't know how to recite Fatiha well,
فإنه يقول بدلا منها سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
In place of reciting it, he says سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
حيثما يتعلمها.
Until he actually learns it.
طيب. الركن الرابع الركوع.
And the fourth pillar here is the bound position, rukur.
إذا قرأ الفاتحة بعد ذلك يركع.
So once he recites Fatiha, after that he makes rukur, he bows.
ويسوي بين ظهره ورأسه ويقبض بيديه على ركبتيه.
And he makes his back and his back and his head level, and he grasps onto his knees.
وقد أمر الله بالركوع بقوله واركعوا مع الراكعين.
And Allah Ta'ala has ordered with rukur, and he stated to bow with those who bow.
وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المسيء في الصلاة كما في الصحيحين ثم اركع حتى تطمئن راكعا.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has stated to him pray poorly as come in the Sahihain, then bow until you are in a state of tranquility in your bowing.
الركن الخامس الاعتدال من الركوع.
The fifth pillar is raising up, rising from the ركوع.
فلا بد أن يعتدل من الركوع. لا يجوز وهو راكع يسجد مباشرة. لا بد أن يعتدل أولا.
So a person has to rise up from ركوع. It's not for him to go immediately into prostration from ركوع. He has to rise up from ركوع.
الحديث المسيء في صلاة في الصحيحين قال ثم ارفع حتى تطمئن قائما.
As has come in the hadith of the Sahihain, the Prophet ﷺ speaking to the one who prayed poorly, he stated to him, rise up until you have risen up, stood up from your ركوع.
ثم يهوي إلى السجود وهذا الركن السادس.
And then you go into the prostration, and this is your sixth pillar.
ويستحب أن يقدم يديه قبل ركبتيه.
And it's highly recommended to place his hands down first before his knees.
ويسجد على سبعة أعظم سبعة أعضاء أو سبعة أعظم.
And he prostrates upon seven bones or seven limbs, if you will.
كما في صحيح البخاري من حديث ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما.
As is coming in صحيح البخاري من حديث ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما.
قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرت أن أسجد على سبعة أعظم.
He stated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stated, I have been ordered to prostrate upon seven limbs or bones.
على الجبهة وأشار على أنفه.
Upon his forehead and his indication here to also prostrate upon the nose.
فلا بد أن يسجد على جبهته وأنفه.
So it is imperative to prostrate upon his forehead and his nose.
لا يسجد على جبهته ويرفع أنفه ولا يسجد على أنفه ويرفع جبهته وإنما على الجبهة والأنف.
So a person doesn't prostrate upon his forehead and then not his nose, nor does he prostrate on his nose and not his forehead, but rather he prostrates upon both his nose and his forehead.
ويسجد سجودا معتادا لا يعتمد بكليته على جبهته.
And a person he prostrates in a normal, natural fashion. He doesn't put all his force down when he's prostrating.
ولا يضم بدنه ولا يفرده كأنه منبطح.
Nor does he like retract his body. Nor does he stretch himself all the way out.
ولا يلزمه أن يفرك جبهته في الأرض.
Nor is it upon him to rub his head, rub his face into the ground.
كما يظن بعض الناس أن هذا الفعل مستحب حتى تخرج له يعني سمة السجود.
Nah. As some of the people do, and they think that it is highly recommended to do so, rub your face in the ground, so that you can have a prostration mark on your head.
هو غير مطالب بهذا وليس هذا من المشروع أصلا.
This is not something that has been requested of him, and this is something that has not been legislated at all in the first place.
نرجع إلى حديث ابن عباس. قال على الجبهتي وأشار على أنفه. قال وأطراف اليدين.
So we go back to the hadith of Ibn Abbas. He said to prostrate upon your forehead and your nose, and also upon your two hands.
ويتوجه بأصابعه إلى القبلة.
And you with your fingers you point them towards the قبلة.
يفرد أصابعه لا يضمهما ولا يفرجها.
So you have your hands in a normal fashion. You don't close them out, nor do you stretch them out wide.
ويسجد بين يديه.
And he prostrates between his two hands.
ويجافي بين جنبيه.
And he opens up his arms.
لكن الركن هو السجود. أما هذه الصفات فهي مستحبة.
But the actual pillar is prostration itself. As for all these qualities, characteristics we have mentioned, then they are from the mustahabbat. Highly recommend.
نرجع إلى حديث ابن عباس. قال على الجبهة وأشار على الأنف واليدين وأطراف اليدين. أو قال واليدين والركبتين وأطراف القدمين.
We go back to the hadith of Ibn Abbas. He mentioned to prostrate on the forehead. He pointed to the nose, on the hands, on the two knees, and also your two feet.
الركن السابع الرفع من السجود.
The seventh pillar is raising up from sujood, prostration.
لا يجوز أن يأتي بسجدتين مباشرة يرفع مثلا رفعا قليلا ثم يسجد الأخرى. بل لابد أن يرفع من السجود إلى الجلوس.
A person has to raise up from the sujood, prostration. A person cannot just raise up a little bit from sujood and go right back down. A person has to raise up all the way from prostration.
الرفع من السجدة الأولى هذا ركن.
Raising up from the first prostration, this is a pillar.
الركن الثامن الجلسة بين السجدتين.
The eighth pillar is sitting between the two prostrations.
الركن التاسع الطمأنينة في جميع الأفعال.
The ninth pillar is having a state of tranquility in all of the actions.
طبعا أدلة السجود قول الله عز وجل.
He said that the evidence for sujood is what obviously what Allah عز وجل mentioned.
لا تسجدوا للشمس ولا القمر واسجدوا لله الذي خلقهن.
do not prostrate to the sun and the moon, but rather prostrate to Allah who created them.
وقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم للمصلي في الصلاة ثم اسجد حتى تطمئن ساجدا.
And the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to the one who prayed poorly, then prostrate until you are in a state of tranquility in your prostration.
وأما الركن التاسع الطمأنينة في هذه الأركان لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الصحيحين للمصلي في الصلاة افعل ذلك ثم اطمئن.
And as for the evidence of tama'neen and the state of tranquility is the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when one prayed poorly, when he said to do this, he said to do this and that, he said to do it until you are in a state of tranquility therein.
قال ثم اركع حتى تطمئن راكعا ثم اسجد حتى تطمئن ساجدا.
He said make the prostration until you are in a state of tranquility therein, and prostrate until you are in a state of tranquility therein.
وهذا الرجل لم يكن مطمئنا في صلاته فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ارجع فصل فإنك لم تصلي.
And this person who prayed poorly, he didn't have a state of tranquility in his prayers. So Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told him to go back, for surely you have not prayed.
سمي حديثه عند المحدثين بحديث المسيء في صلاته.
And with the محدثين, the scholars of hadith, this hadith was given the title of the one who prayed poorly.
ثلاث مرات يقول له ارجع فصل فإنك لم تصلي.
Three times he said to him, go back and pray, for certain you have not prayed.
وفي حديث المسيء في صلاته فائدة عظيمة جليلة.
And in this hadith of the one who prayed poorly, there is a very immense noble benefit.
أن العبادة إذا لم تكن على وجه الشرعي فهي كعدمها.
That worship, if it is not done in the fashion that has been legislated, then it is as though you haven't even performed.
تأملوا هذا الحديث.
Contemplate upon this hadith.
الحديث في البخاري ومسلم من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه.
The hadith is in al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه.
قال دخل رجل المسجد فصلى.
A man came into the masjid and he prayed.
فجاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فسلم عليه.
So he came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he gave salam to him.
فرد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عليه السلام وقال له ارجع فصل فإنك لم تصل.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم returned his salam and he said to him, go back and pray, for certain you have not prayed.
رجع الرجل فصلى.
So the man, he went back and he prayed.
فجاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فسلم عليه. فرد عليه السلام وقال ارجع فصل فإنك لم تصلي.
Then he came back to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, gave him salam. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم returned his salam and said to him, go back and pray, for certain you have not prayed.
رجع فصلى في الثالثة.
So he went back and prayed a third time.
فجاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فسلم عليه ورد عليه السلام وقال له ارجع فصل فإنك لم تصلي.
So the man after praying went back to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, gave him salam. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم returned the salam and told him, go back and pray, for certain you have not prayed.
كم مرة أمره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟
How many times did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم order him to do this?
ثلاث مرات.
Three times.
الآن السؤال.
Now we have a question.
الرجل صلى أو لم يصلي؟
Did the man pray or did he not pray?
صلى ولم يصلي؟
Did he pray or did he not pray?
ها دكتور عصام صلى ولم يصلي؟ أستغفر الله. صلى ولم يصلي؟
Did he pray or not?
يعني صلى. إذا قلت أنه صلى صلى فإنه ثلاث مرات صلى.
If you say he prayed, then he prayed three times.
لكن لما كانت عبادته غير شرعية.
But the acts of worship, when they're not performed in the legislative fashion.
فاعتبرها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كعدمها.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم considered it as though it wasn't even performed.
فقال ارجع فصل فإنك لم تصلي.
So he said, go back and pray, for certainly you have not prayed.
إذا قلت صلى نعم هو صلى.
If we say prayed, yes he did pray.
وإذا قلت أنه لم يصلي نعم لم يصلي.
And we say that he didn't pray, yes he didn't pray.
بدليل أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قاله فإنك لم تصلي.
With the evidence that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stated that certainly you have not prayed.
فهذا حديث مهم جدا.
So this is a very important hadith.
نفهم منه.
We understand from it.
أن كل عبادة.
That every act of worship.
لا يؤتى بها على وجه الشرعي.
That is not brought in the legislative fashion.
فهي كعدمها.
It is as though it has not been performed.
بل الإسلام نفسه.
Rather Islam itself.
من لم يسلم إسلاما صحيحا شرعيا.
Whoever doesn't embrace Islam in the legislative fashion.
فهو كعدمه.
Then it's as though he didn't do it.
حتى إن ممن ينتسب إلى الإسلام.
To the point that even those who ascribe themselves to Islam.
من هو أكثر من كثير من الكفار.
Are those who have more disbelief than many of the kuffar.
لماذا?
Why?
لأنه ينتسب الإسلام ويدعي الإسلام.
Because he ascribes himself to Islam. He identifies with Islam.
لكن إسلامه باطل.
But his Islam is false.
والباطل كعدمه.
And something that is false is as though it doesn't exist.
أليس كذلك?
Is this not the case?
لو قال قائل درست في الجامعة أربع سنوات.
If a person were to say I studied in the university for 4 years.
ثم تخرجت منها.
Then he graduated from it.
أين شهادتك?
You say where is your diploma?
قال لا أربع سنوات رسبت فيها أربع مرات.
And a person says, I was there for 4 years and I failed for these 4 years.
فنقول لماذا قلت درست 4 سنوات?
We say, then why are you saying that you studied for 4 years?
لأنك راسب 4 سنوات.
And you failed for these 4 years.
أتعبت نفسك.
You just tired yourself out.
وأضعت وقتك.
And you wasted your time.
ما لم تدرس دراسة صحيحة.
So long as you haven't studied in the correct fashion.
وتحصل فيها العلم.
And you obtain knowledge therefrom.
وتنجح وتنال شهادة.
And you pass and you obtained a degree.
وإلا أنت ومن لم يذهب إلى الجامعة سواء.
It is as though you going and not going is equal.
فهناك من يقول لا إله إلا الله.
So there are people who have stated who say لا إله إلا الله.
وينتسبوا للإسلام.
They inscribe themselves to Islam.
ومعنى لا إله إلا الله لا معبود حق إلا الله.
And the meaning of لا إله إلا الله is that there is none worthy of worship in truth except Allah.
وهو يعبد أولياء مع الله.
And he worships أولياء saints alongside Allah.
يدعوهم عند الحاجة.
He calls upon them when he's in need.
وينذر لهم.
And he makes vows to them.
ويذبح لهم.
He sacrifices for them.
ويحلف بهم.
He swears by them.
ويرجو منهم البركة.
And he hopes to receive blessing from them.
فهذا ليس بمسلم.
This person is not a Muslim.
وإن قال لا إله إلا الله.
Even if he says لا إله إلا الله.
فيعترض البعض يقول كيف تقول عنه ليس بمسلم.
So some of the people seek to make excuses. They say how can you say he's not a Muslim.
وهو يقول لا إله إلا الله.
So he says لا إله إلا الله.
نقول هذا مثله كمثل المسيء في صلاته.
He said the example of him is like the example of the one who prayed poorly.
فإنه صلى 3 مرات.
So since he prayed 3 times.
ويشهد عليه نبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم 3 مرات أنه لم يصلي.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم bore witness 3 times that he didn't pray.
وهذا كالذي توضأ.
And this is like the one who performs wudu.
ثم نقض وضوءه.
Then he invalidates his wudu.
فلو صلى بهذا الوضوء المنتقض.
If he prays with this wudu that became invalidated,
هل تصح صلاته؟
Is the salat valid?
الجواب لا.
The answer is no.
لكنه توضأ.
But he did make wudu.
نقول ولكنه نقض وضوءه.
We say but yes, but he invalidated his wudu.
فمن قال لا إله إلا الله.
So whoever says لا إله إلا الله.
ثم نقضها بعبادة غير الله.
Then he invalidates it by worshiping other than Allah.
ولو عبد نبيا.
Even if you worship the prophet.
أو ملكا.
Or an angel.
أو وليا صالحا.
Or a righteous saint.
فلا تنفع لا إله إلا الله هذه المنتقضة.
Then لا إله إلا الله doesn't benefit him. He has invalidated it.
لا بد من لا إله إلا الله من تحقيقها.
It is imperative to have la ilaha illallah and to implement it, actualize it.
إذا استفدنا فائدة كبيرة.
So we have obtained an immense benefit from this.
لو لم نستفد إلا هذه الفائدة في هذه الدورة العلمية لكان كافيا.
And if we didn't benefit anything else in this seminar except this, then this would be sufficient for us.
ما هي?
What is it?
أن العبادة.
It's certainly worship.
سأقول ما هي.
I'm going to say what it is.
وأريد منكم أن يعيدها بعدي.
And I want all of you to repeat it back after me.
أن العبادة.
Certainly worship.
إن لم تكن.
If it is not.
على صورتها الشرعية.
In its legislative fashion.
فهي كعدمها.
Then it is as though it is not performed.
أن العبادة.
Certainly worship.
إن لم تكن على صورتها الشرعية فهي كعدمها.
If it is not performed in its legislative fashion, it is though you haven't done it.
أن.
Certainly.
العبادة.
Worship.
إذا.
If
لم تكن,
it is not
على وجهها الشرعي
performed in the legislative fashion,
فهي كعدمها.
It is as though it hasn't been done.
ما الدليل?
What's the evidence?
حديث المسيء في صلاته.
The hadith of the one who prayed poorly.
من رواه?
Who's the one that recorded?
البخاري ومسلم.
بخاري ومسلم.
من صاحب الحديث?
Who's the one that who conveyed this hadith?
أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه.
أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه.
المسيء في صلاته.
The one who prayed poorly.
صلى 3 مرات.
He prayed 3 times.
ومحمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And Muhammad the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم.
يقول له ارجع فصل فإنك لم تصلي.
He said go back and pray for certainly you have not prayed.
الأمر خطير جدا.
This affair is very dangerous.
إذا لم نمشي صحيحا في دين الله عز وجل.
If you don't traverse correctly in the religion of Allah.
فلا يقبل الله العبادة إلا إذا كانت صحيحة.
Allah will not accept worship except that it is correct and valid.
لو أردت أن تسير في طريق إلى مدينة ما.
If you wanted to travel to go upon a path to some city.
وهي جهة الشرق.
And it is in the direction of the sharp, the east.
وذهبت جهة الغرب.
And you went in the direction of the west.
هل ستصل إلى هذه المدينة?
Are you going to reach the city?
إلا أن يقال.
Except that it is it.
ستدور الكرة الأرضية بسيارتك حتى تصل إليها.
That you're going to go around the entire earth until you eventually get back to your location.
هكذا الإسلام.
Likewise is Islam.
إنما أرسل الله رسوله ليطاع بإذن الله.
Allah عز وجل sent his messenger so that he can be taught by the permission of that he, so that he can be obeyed by the permission of Allah.
لابد أن نعبد الله كما أمر الله.
So we have to worship Allah as he ordered us to do so.
الدين دين دين الله عز وجل.
So the religion of Allah عز وجل.
ورسول رب العالمين يطاع بإذن الله.
And the messenger of the Lord of all existence, he is obeyed by the permission of Allah.
الله يقول وما أتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا.
And Allah عز وجل mentioned whatever the messenger gives you, take it, and whatever he forbids you from, then abstain from it.
ويقول وأطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول.
And he says to obey Allah and obey the messenger.
إن العبادة
certainly worship.
إن لم تكن
if it is not
على وجه الشرعي
performed in its legislative fashion
فهي كعدمها.
It is as though it hasn't been done.
دليل ذلك
the evidence for it
حديث المسيء في صلاته
the hadith of the one who prayed poorly.
رواه البخاري ومسلم.
Recorded by Bukhari and Muslim.
حديث أبي هريرة.
The hadith of Abu Huraira.
أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered.
المسيء في صلاته.
The one who prayed poorly.
أن يعيد الصلاة ثلاث مرات.
To repeat his prayer three times.
قال وصل فإنك لم تصلي.
He said, go back and pray for certain you have not prayed.
لأنه جاء بها على غير وجهها الشرعي.
Because he performed it in other than its legislative fashion.
الآن سيؤذن من يقول هذه القاعدة العظيمة الجليلة الذهبية.
Now is the time for the event. Who's going to come back and repeat this beautiful noble benefit?
يا دكتور إذا ما جبت صح تغدينا بكرة على حسابك. قل. قلتها مضبوط عشان ما تغدينا. طيب بارك الله فيك ونفع الله وإياكم بما سمعنا وكل ما تسمعون الله أعلم صلى الله على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.
ما شاء الله.